I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. This is Thursday, November 19th, and we're hungry. I'm Derek Russell.
I'm Brad Locke.
The smells have not begun wafting from the back room, of the press area where we will be dining upon our Thanksgiving luncheon soon. But you'll know when it's time.
Oh, yeah. People are walking past the studio with food.
I don't see food. I just see looks inside.
People
this
do like
direction.
To stare in here like we're in a zoo.
The gorilla cage here, the glass of the studio, everybody just looks at us when they come through.
Do something.
Poking the panda in the glass. Do something.
We're just sitting there.
Oh, we've been in here too long. You think they might let us out today to go eat?
Hopefully,
Chris,
yeah.
Can we go out and go eat today?
You got 20 minutes.
Oh, what?
That's fine.
Short show today.
The shorter we go, the longer we get to be out.
By the time people actually hear this, we'll probably be in a food coma.
That's very true.
And there might not even be a Friday Daily Journal.
I've never understood this thing being at lunch because the productivity during the afternoon must go way down.
Way down. Yeah. We'll all be asleep under our desks.
All that tryptophan that I'll be consuming.
Yes.
See, it sounds hollow.
Here's the thing. I just had a huge, there's somebody else looking at us, had a huge Thanksgiving feast at my church last night.
Did you?
Although it's not as bad as it used to be because we used to have this luncheon at the Journal on a Wednesday, which would be the same Wednesday
and
as the church.
And then that night you had that.
So I would have two humongous feasts.
That's two free meals.
It is, but it's like I'm gaining like 10 pounds in one day.
That's okay. It's acceptable.
So I got to pace myself.
And then 1 week later, you do it all over again.
Yeah.
I do. Yes.
Well, that's fine. That makes it more okay for them to look in here at us like we're a bunch of animals when we gain that much weight.
Yeah.
This is practice.
Exactly. It's practice for next week.
You gotta,
for the
you
real
gotta
thing.
Work up. This is like a marathon.
It's
you
a
can't
pre-season.
Just get out there and do it.
No. You gotta warm up.
Yeah.
Preseason.
Yeah.
Get your work in. Get to make sure you know.
Even those NASCAR people have to drive in a circle once at least once before they get out there and do a real race.
Yeah. You gotta make sure you know how to plate your food, what to get.
Quantity versus quality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Spacing. Mm-hmm. I understand. I don't like my food to touch.
Yeah, I used to be like that. It just depends. As long as there's not like juices running all over the plate, it can touch. Like the green beans, green bean juice getting in my potatoes, it's not going to work for me.
It's fantastic. Everything you're saying right now, I'm a fan of.
I saw green bean juice open once for Steely Dan.
They had that one hit, Del Monte. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good song back in '88 or something. Yeah.
I remember seeing them in Detroit with Styx. They were real good.
I saw something the other day. Apparently, Def Leppard, Styx. Oh, gosh. And there's one other band from the 80s that are like touring together.
Yes. That sounds fantastic.
Who's the other one?
I don't remember.
Anyway, I was like, wow. Transported back in time 30 years.
Guns N' Roses is going back out on tour, too.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently, they've worked out whatever issues because
everything
Axl
old
Rose,
is new again.
Yeah.
It's fine. Too bad they don't sound good anymore. I go see Styx, though, and Def Leppard in a heartbeat.
I love me some Def Leppard.
Well, between food and music, we're just going to be useless today. We do have a full show we've got to get through before. Thankfully, Jenna's not here today to talk about food and make it even harder on us. But it is Thursday. We're looking ahead at the weekend with Scene Section today, as well as Scott Morris's movie review. He went to see The 33, the minor movie.
Yes, with the Trapped Miners.
Minors are not allowed to see it. They have to be accompanied by somebody of age. Sorry.
I see what you did there.
Terrible.
By the way, that's Styx, Def Leppard, and
Tesla.
Tesla, thank you.
Easy for you to say. That's what it is. Wow.
So go ahead and book me some tickets while you're on that site there, Chris.
Wow.
Done. Just Brad?
Charge that to the Journal.
Yeah.
Journal, right? Expense it. Okay, cool.
Live memo from...
In L.A. too, right?
Yeah, just book us first class. On the Journal card. It's fine.
Got it.
He's taking care of it. I can see the ferocity in his eyes.
Looks like Birmingham's closest, June 27th.
That's due L.A. Let's go all out. It's fine.
If you're going to do it
big.
Yeah. Yeah. All the way. Exactly. Lauren Wood joining us to talk about her photo essay from this week where she profiled a sous chef.
She'll class up the place.
At the grill. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. And as soon as she's done, we'll totally unclassed yet again.
Speaking of Lauren and food, she just makes fantastic cakes. She's making my birthday cake.
We won't miss out on your birthday. Don't worry. I have such plans for you. Oh, boy. Such plans.
I think I'm taking that day off.
No. You're scheduled to be on the memo that day. It's on here.
Okay.
It's fine. It's gonna be such a good day. It's gonna be a celebration of all things. Yes, we're in here. Keep looking at us as you.
Hi. Walk by. We're doing a show.
It's gonna be a celebration of all things Bradlock.
Because I turned 40. In case you didn't hear.
Yeah. That's Bradlock, this is your life. We're gonna bring by all your old teachers.
Wow.
It's a big deal.
All my old girlfriends.
Uh huh.
That'd be like
all both of them.
That'd be like one.
Yeah.
I married my second girlfriend. So basically. So, unless you count the ones back in kindergarten. Now, back in kindergarten, let me tell you, I was. I had four or five on a string at once.
Oh, wow. Brad. Yeah. I never took you for such a terrible person.
Two were sisters.
Find out more on Brad's 40th birthday extravaganza on the memo. Let's get things started this morning with education reporter Emma Kent.
Okay, so let's welcome in Emma Kent. How you doing, Emma?
I'm good, Brad. How are you?
Good. Just still trying to get used to your new last name.
Yeah.
How was the honeymoon?
Oh, it was great.
You went out northwest to the northwest, the great northwest?
Mm-hmm. We did. We went to Washington, and we pretty much
Canada?
Covered the whole northwest corner of the state, so it was pretty cool.
Went to Canada?
Yeah, we did go to Canada.
Made it out alive? That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Across the border.
Good deal. hey, you had a story actually ran yesterday about Tupelo Public School District creating a task force to evaluate the district's discipline policies. This is coming after that situation where the student was Daniel Bristow. We know that the Tupelo quarterback was. But yeah, he was. He got in trouble, and eventually they worked things out where he could come back. He missed like two or three games, and he's back in school. And he played for their season just ended last week, but was able to finish the season there. But that kind of sparked a conversation about the zero tolerance policy at TPSD. So, what are they trying to accomplish with this task force exactly?
Well, coming from that situation, I think there was a lot of community outcry about the punishment not fitting the crime. And so what they're trying to do is just evaluate better how they handle discipline cases and also to get some input from those members of the community who have a stake in the school district, you know. So that's everyday people and parents and local officials and just, you know, members of the community who are concerned and care about the school district. So their goal is just to kind of meet and talk and get feedback on their existing policy and look for suggestions on things that can be tweaked and just see and make sure that they have a policy that reflects the values of the community and the thoughts of the community as well, while still keeping the school safe, obviously.
Right. And, you know, you get why they have the zero tolerance, but like you said, sometimes when you have that, the punishment is going to be far disproportional to the crime or to the to the offense. And I think that's the tricky part with a zero tolerance is there's no room for like context of the situation, as we saw with the kid at Tupelo High. So is that kind of what they're looking to do? Kind of give a little more leeway there? I mean, I guess they're just taking suggestions regarding that.
Right. I mean, I can't say whether or not they will make any changes, but they are looking just evaluating and examining the policies that they have to see, because I think it's trying to find a balance between flexibility, you know, when something comes up and there is context to be considered. I mean, obviously every situation is different. So finding a balance between flexibility, but also having consistency in the way that they handle each case so that they're administering discipline fairly.
Right.
And so it's kind of looking for that balance and making sure the policy has that balance. And, but still, you know, while keeping a focus on making sure that kids are safe at school, because unfortunately you do have incidents where, you know, bad things happen at school and nobody wants that. So,
yeah, I mean, you had the kid bring the gun to school a few weeks ago after he shot his friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
That's where zero tolerance comes in.
Yeah. That's where it's a good thing.
Right.
But you know, if it's an accident or, an accident in having something on campus, not in shooting someone, but
right.
But yeah, I mean, there's context to be considered. And when you have a hard line policy like that, it can make things...
It makes everything black and white when maybe it's not quite black and white.
Yeah, there's no room for that gray area of
right.
considering the student and the circumstances and that kind of thing.
And they've had one meeting, and they're going to have, a couple more, and then they'll disband the task force, and they'll bring these suggestions and whatever to the school board, and then at some point... School board will try to see if they want to make any changes, right?
Right, yes.
Okay. Yeah. What's kind of the general feeling or the thoughts of people that you've heard? Because it seems like a lot of people do favor kind of modifying it so it won't be such a – you won't have this situation again.
They – well, as far as, like, people, I mean, I've spoken to several school board members and just people, like, within the district, like administrators.
Yeah.
And I think part of – you know, there's still the concern of, like, if you change the policy, we don't want anything to happen. You know, if you change the policy, it leaves room for possibly something bad to happen with a looser policy, I guess, or a more flexible policy.
Right.
But I think there is a consensus that it does need a flexibility, like, factor, I guess. You know, you do need that gray area, like we said.
Right.
So, and everyone that I've spoken to said that the task force has been very positive. Getting that feedback is really positive, and that, you know, they're hoping that will help them as they do go back and evaluate the policy later on and decide if they need changes. But the school district itself has seen a big decrease in discipline referrals over the past 4 years or so. And so I think there's also, you know, what they're doing is working to some extent, you know, because they do have a decrease in discipline referrals. So you also don't want to you don't want to change something so much that you would kind of regress backward to having more discipline issues. So like I said, it's about finding a balance. And I think that's what, to me, based on being at school board meetings and just speaking with people, that's what their focus is striking that balance. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Emma, you can find the story we can find it in Wednesday's journal, but you can also find it online at djournal.com. Follow Emma on Twitter at M Crawford Kent. That's at E M Crawford Kent. You've had to change your Twitter handle. But
I have. I had to change everything, you know?
Yeah,
it's so inconvenient.
Get married. Well, I'm sure it's worth it.
Changes everything.
Thank you, Emma.
Thanks.
Lauren Wood joining us today. Lauren, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good afternoon when they hear this, though. So.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It's fine. It's
good
fine.
Afternoon, but I'm good.
Good.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk to you yesterday, but we were hard-pressed on time. So much to talk about with the Bridal Journal Expo.
I've been very busy this week.
I understand.
Every week.
But I wanted to talk to you about your photo essay that came out on Monday. I've been loving these in-focus projects that you and Thomas and Adam have been doing, and you spotlighted, kind of worked in tandem with a local folks that we had on Monday as well.
Yes, Jenna was very gracious to let me kind of work with her and expound upon her local folks on Donna Jackson, who is a sous chef at The Grill. She's also the first female chef, sous chef, in their Eat With Us group.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is also really cool. But, you know, photo-wise, it was really fun to just, like, have more than a portrait run, which is typically what runs with the local folks. So we kind of, you know, went with her. I went with her back in the kitchen, spent some time with her, and she was just, like, chopping things up, putting things on the fryer, or, like, the grill, and, you know, like, refilling things and going. She, like, everybody, you could tell, like, she just, like, got along with everybody and kind of was a little like matriarch of the kitchen, kind of, you know, you could tell she really loved her role there. So
to the uninitiated, a sous chef,
yes,
would be.
It's kind of like I don't want to get this wrong because I'm not in the restaurant industry, but it's like the assistant chef. They kind of prepare everything, make sure everything's ready, and she is during the day. That's her shift. She works during the day, and she kind of prepares everything and makes sure everything's restocked and everything's ready to go. They have enough, you know, chicken ready for the evening, for the evening chef. And, like, oh, she makes sure she knows, like, oh, we have a bunch of reservations and, like, dinner parties coming tonight. We have enough food ready to go for the evening shift and things like that.
So it can be a stressful position, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you captured a lot of great images of her.
Thank you.
Working in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is not something everybody always gets to see when they go out to eat. So it's nice to get a look behind the scenes and that sort of thing. So
yeah, you could tell she just like loved being in the kitchen. She's been working in the restaurant industry since she was 15.
Yeah.
And has been kind of like growing and advancing ever since.
She give you any food? Free meals?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
But the girl's really good.
Next time, bring it back here so we can enjoy. Everybody can have a little
she
bit.
She made
no,
some shrimp
kidding.
And grits. And I was like,
oh, their shrimp and grits good. Are good at the grill. Yep. See, this is bad. I thought we weren't going to have anything food to talk about today before the luncheon, and here we are.
All luncheon. All food all the time.
Dying over here. All right, Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, it's Thursday, which means it's time to talk movies with M. Scott Morris. Welcome into the show, Mr. Morris. How are you?
Are we live? Are we live?
No. Yes, maybe.
Tape delayed.
Sure. 7-second delay.
So whatever language is the producer uses, we can cut that out.
Via satellite.
Is it via or via?
Your choice.
Tomato.
I saw the 33 if y'all few.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or try done messing around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's what we do best. The 33 is your movie review in today's journal, djournal.com. Of course, it's based on a real-life event of some Chilean miners who were trapped for a very long time underground.
Do y'all remember that? I mean, I remember that pretty well, and I know how it turned out. And so when I saw they're making a movie about it, I wasn't all that excited about seeing it, only because I know how it ends.
Yeah, exactly.
100% how it ends. But, and so when I got there, you know, it took a while. You know the mine's going to collapse. And I felt, I'm like, well, let's just get this mine collapsed already. Because you're having to wait a while. But you get to know the characters a little bit, too. A little bit of their lives, a little bit of setup. But still, it's like, you're kind of waiting for this event to happen.
Sure, sure.
And then when it does, I don't know, something about it, I just couldn't get into it at first. They're racing around, but I know that they're going to make it. I know certain things are going to happen. Let me just put it that way. And so I'm not too worried about them when the mine's collapsing. And then when the family's all railing at the fence, that I couldn't really connect with that. But something funny happened while I was watching this movie is that there was a scene. A fantasy scene that I'm not going to ruin for anybody because, quite frankly, it marked the point to where at that scene, at that moment, taking place in the mine, beneath a rock, by the way, that was the size of two Empire State Buildings. This is what was above them and grumbling and threatening to come down.
Basically a mountain about to fall on them.
Yeah, of gold and copper. So, I mean, you know, if it gets crushed by gold and copper, might as well, if you're going to get crushed by anything. But this scene, I loved that scene, and it was funny, it was poignant, it connected with me, and then for the rest of the movie, I'm right there with it. So it was a very weird experience for me, because it just took a while for me to get entranced by the movie, I suppose.
Yeah, even though you know what's going to happen, and they're still able to maintain suspense?
They really were, as you went along, because this mountain is, it's a near thing. And this rock is giant. It's right where they are, and it's grumbling. Rocks are falling. Stuff is happening, and they keep. You know, we just saw. Oh wow, we saw what happened. But the way to get there, the drills kept breaking. The odds of it working are pretty astronomical, and you begin to realize, ooh. And so I got caught up into it, and I would forget that I knew how it ended.
The 33 stars Antonio Banderas.
Does a great job.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Does a okay job.
Took me back in time, those two guys.
Yeah, well, Antonio Banderas, man, he's like Puss in Boots. He's been around.
Yeah, he's awesome. I first saw him in Desperado many years ago.
Lou Diamond Phillips has been doing a lot of stuff lately.
He has been. He's kind of had a bit of a career revival because he just, you know, after the Young Guns movies, he had some stuff, I guess. But for a while there, you just didn't really see him in anything.
He's been on Longmire on A&E, which has now been picked up on Netflix, which is a really good show.
Yeah. Well, you see him now, though. I can't talk, but I mean, he's got his beard is gray. And it's like all these guys who were young and famous are now old and famous.
I know, it's weird. It's weird to look at them. Very weird. But
we're aging right along with me here.
But Scott, you liked it overall, gave it a B, and y'all can read his review in today's journal at djournal.com as well. Scott, good stuff, man, as always.
Hey, I'm just glad to be invited on to try to make this podcast great again.
We'll keep trying till it is.
Till y'all get there.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, now I kind of want to see the 33. I was kind of like Scott, going, you know, he said going into it, you kind of know what happened, but I don't know. Maybe
I have trouble with movies like that. There was Ewan McGregor. It was the Typhoon movie.
The Typhoon movie.
Perfect Storm?
No.
No, that's George Clooney.
God.
Well.
Vamp while I come up with what the name of this was.
So anyway, it's Thursday on The Memo. No show next week, by the way, or no show next Thursday, because, hey, it's Thanksgiving. We'll all be stuffing our faces, as we will be today if you're a journal employee like us.
We'll be here Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah, Monday and Wednesday next week.
Typhoon, Tsunami, that's what tsunami. I was trying to think of. The Impossible.
I've not seen that one.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor, and they were in Thailand on vacation during that was a very real movie to watch, and I don't like feeling uncomfortable in a movie. Now stuff like San Andreas for The Day After Tomorrow, all that, sci-fi, that's fine. Stuff. Armageddon, none of that's gonna Armageddon. Get me. But those are what?
I saw Armageddon's the movie we went to watch the night before I got married. Just wow. A little trivia there.
Is that foreboding at all?
No.
Okay, I was just making
thankfully,
sure.
No. The wedding went fine. Everything's, it's fine.
Good. All right, well, go see the 33. It's playing wherever Scott said it was playing.
What else is happening, Derek?
Well, there's a lot going on this weekend. If you're a theatrical mind, TCT Off-Broadway has got a show called Dinner with Friends. That is at their Off-Broadway location at 213 East Franklin Street behind the Bancorp South Arena. That's Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $20 and includes your first beverage of the evening.
So, adult beverage?
Adult beverage.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
That's fine. Also, for the theatrically minded, there is a new theater company here in town called Open Stage, and their first performance for their first show, More Than Life, is going to be tonight. It's running tonight through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. tonight, Friday and Saturday, and then 2 p.m. on Sunday. That's going to be at the Link Center.
Okay.
Tickets are $12 to $18 in advance or $15 to $20 at the door. So
Danny McKenzie.
Danny McKenzie in this one, yes.
Former correct. Journal employee.
Yeah. Plays a priest.
Okay.
In this one.
So. Danny's a cool guy.
People familiar with the Journal might know the name Cheryl Sproles wrote this production.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fourth time it's ever been produced. Wow. So.
Chris Wells, too, right?
Yes, Thomas Wells, photographer's wife. She is in the production as well. So a lot of journal people or journal adjacent people involved in this production.
We're creative folks or something.
But it won an award in 2006, the Eudora Welting New Play Series Award. So it's very... it's a very funny show, so be sure and check that out this weekend. Also, over in Baldwin, at Lulee's restaurant, they're continuing their music series. They've got the Queens of Country on Saturday night, all dolled up.
With oh boy,
dolled Dolly Parton.
See what you did there.
It's a play. I didn't do it. They did it. I'm just repeating it.
Didn't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. More things to be checking out this weekend. North Mississippi Dance Center is hosting their annual St. Jude benefit on Saturday at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center.
Will you be there?
I will be there all day and all night.
You sound excited, Dad.
Oh, me. Expect a column. I'm sure there will be one. I wrote one last year for last year's recital, and all the mothers said that I needed to win some sort of award for that column. I equated it to being on the front lines of war. Four dance recitals are held.
I can imagine.
But that's for a good cause. That all goes to benefit families, local families that have been benefited from St. Jude. So that goes to benefit St. Jude in the names of those families and children. Check that out as well. One I'm really excited about, I hate I'm going to miss it, next Wednesday night at the Blue Canoe, guitarist from Jethro Tull, Martin Barr, is going to be performing. Jethro Tull, one of my favorite bands ever, so getting to talk to him was
sweet.
Was just a joy. He's a great guy. We were talking, and he said, well, he's of course, he's from England, born in England, and he said, well, I'm Mississippi adjacent, I'm Mississippi local. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, my wife's from Jackson.
Huh.
And I said, really? And he said, yeah, my son lives in Canton. or Brandon at one. I can't remember, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, so just a neat little antidote for that. He's excited about doing a show. His only show on this tour in Mississippi.
Wow.
It's going to be in Tupelo. Blue Canoe next Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving.
Cool.
So that should be a good one. So always something to do in Tupelo. Don't forget that. Coming up on public ice skating.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's always a big deal at the arena. That'll be coming up.
Gone ice skating? I've done it a few times. My in-laws live in St. Louis.
I've gone ice falling. Yeah. That counts.
I've gone in St. Louis a couple of times where my in-laws live, and I can stay upright usually. That's about it.
That'll start kickoff on November 28th, and we'll go in through January.
It's hard on the ankles.
Yeah, it's hard on the everything, especially when you fall.
Especially if you fall down, yeah.
I've only bled a few times, so it's fun. It's fun. Anything you want to ask me, Brad? Anything you want to ask me? Anything you want to know?
About what?
Well, that's it for another episode of The Memo. We're going to be back on Monday. Shortened week next week. Remember, just episodes on Monday and Wednesday of next week. Nothing for Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry, I didn't know the show was ending.
We wish you. My bad. The show is ending. Okay. We're breaking up. It's done. This is it.
Final episode of The Memo.
We had a good run.
It's not the final episode.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back next week.
Chris needs a job. It's
Don't listen.
No, do listen. That's the whole point. But anyway, check us out again on Monday, Brad.
And also check out Double Coverage, the podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry, talking about Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports, in particular football this time of year, of course. And a new episode up today. You can find it at doublecoverage.djournal.com or on your iTunes or your podcast app. So, check it out. No webcast currently, but we got the podcast going with those guys every Thursday. Next week, maybe pushing it up a day.
Yeah, I haven't heard from them for sure. I would assume they're going to do it, and I assume they're not going to do it on Thursday, but I don't know for sure when
it'll be. It's the Egg Bowl week, so you got to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have something next week. So let's also remind you about Thrive Marketing. It is a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms.
I use Thrive.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
So do I.
You do?
I do.
Wow. See, that was a triangle of...
I do also.
You do?
You too?
You three? Four?
Me as three. Well, also.
It's getting really confusing in here. Don't forget to check us out online, memo.djournal.com. You can also email us, memo@journalinc.com.
Sure can.
You would think it's Journal Inc. because it's a newspaper like INK, but it's actually INC.
Tricky.
I always tell people that when I'm giving my email address.
Journal Incorporated.
If somebody was telling me it was Journal Inc., I would think ink like newspaper.
Right.
But INC.
Yeah.
Like Kids Incorporated. You remember Kids Incorporated?
Vaguely.
Monsters Incorporated.
That's it too.
Yeah. Okay.
Kids Incorporated was an old Disney show.
I didn't have Disney until I had kids. I didn't have that channel until I had kids.
Did you not have kids in the 80s, Brad? How old were
you?
Well,
no, but I didn't have cable in the 80s.
Oh, I understand.
Didn't have cable growing up. Never did. And soon as we all got out of the house, my parents get cable.
Well, see, what they used to do was they'd give you free Disney weekends on cable so you could, do you remember this? Mm-hmm. Chris is nodding his head. That would entice you to want to buy the channel, add it to the package, and then, for 72 straight hours, you'd be glued to that one channel. Record everything! 8-hour tape
VHS.
Intervals. VHS. Record all of it.
Disney Channel is the bane of my existence, to be honest.
Well, now.
Yeah, now.
Set the alarm on your watch for every 8 hours so you'll know when to switch out the tape.
We gotta switch out the tape! Don't record. Who recorded this in slow LP? It only got 2 hours. Oh, VHS. We miss you.
Oh, man.
RIP. All right. Don't forget, all the stories you read about today can be found in your daily journal at djournal.com. Also on Twitter at djournalnow for the latest in breaking news.
And I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke.
You are.
What?
Chris is on Twitter.
I am.
At Chris Kiefer.
So are you.
At W. Derek Russell.
Yay.
At Thrive Marketing. I mean, at W. Derek Russell.
E.
What?
E.
E.
Old Russell. Ye old Russell with an E on the end of it.
Ye old Twitter.
I quit doing that because he gets mad when I do the E thing.
Kind of miss it still.
Harold.
Yeah. Harold. It's Dirty Harry to you, WD-40.
All right.
Chief Keefe.
Chief Keefe.
Well, you've been on the memo in the morning with WD-40, Chief Keef, and Dirty Harry. We'll see you next time.